Cumulus Media Station.
It is 95.5 KOS, Rock of Southern California. I'm Fraser Smith. Welcome to the Fraser Smith Show. Thank you, both of you. And almost sounded like three people, guys. Hey, before we get started tonight, I want to thank our friend Full Metal Jackie for bringing us another rockin' edition of Whiplash. Every Sunday night from 9 to 11 p.m. here on KLOS, Jackie plays the best hard rock and heavy metal tunes. Has some great guests tonight. Her guest was Zakk Wylde from Ozzy and Black Label Society. What a great guest. And be sure and check out Whiplash because, ready, guys? It's whiptastic. There you go. That's right, and look who's here. He's the producer of the year, according to Cholo Home and Garden magazine. He is the king of the Tex-Mex guitar, a proud graduate of Trump University. He played the dancing bee on Telemundo, and he once took sexual assault classes from Bill Cosby and wound up roofing himself. Here he is, the birthday boy, the great Mel Garcia. Woo! Happy birthday, Mel Garcia.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, did you have a good one?
Yes, I did. I did. I did. I actually spent it at my niece got married. Congratulations, Brittany and Quentin. But they're theater people. And it was like a wedding production, truly. It was like La La Land. They sang the vows. All the ushers danced in and out.
Wow.
The caterers had to dance.
Marriage is already in trouble, I guess. Yes. Wow.
Actually, it's available on DVD now.
Okay.
It was pretty entertaining, I got to admit.
Well, that's why not? Yeah,
I mean, as opposed to, like, you know.
But look what La La Land started.
I know, really.
Come on.
Yeah.
Well, happy birthday, Mel. I hope you had a good one. Congrats to Brittany. And, wait till you're as old as me and you need a leaf blower to blow out your candles on your cake.
Yeah,
that's what I have to do. You believe Bill Cosby teaching a seminar on how to protect yourself from sexual assault? That's like Harrison Ford running a flight school. Tip number one, stay away from Bill Cosby.
Right. He shows a picture of himself and goes, stay away.
Stay away from this guy.
If you see him, call authorities immediately.
Run. If you see him, run. All right, Dodgers, we were out there. The Ice House Comedy Club, we went out there the other night. That was fun, man.
Dude, they've been on such a run.
They're on a roll, the Youth Brigade, right?
Ten games in a row.
Well, and they beat the Mets that night by two touchdowns. Tonight, they came from behind today, right?
They got 12 runs again today.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Bellinger, did he hit
two home runs.
Wow.
Two home runs.
How many has he got now?
24.
This kid's slacking.
Unbelievable, yeah.
What's wrong with him?
23.
They're just all of them. Chris Taylor and...
Ridiculous.
And,
but Colorado's pitching, like, they actually scored 5 runs without using a baseball bat.
How they do that?
4 wild pitches, and one of them somebody scored from second.
Wow. Well, they are on a roll. Also this week, you know, guys, I played in the Smokey Robinson golf tournament.
I didn't mean to...
And I figured out my handicap, my swing.
What, showing up?
Yeah, I shot a 72, and then I played the second hole. It was rough, man. The best 2 balls I hit all day were when I stepped on that rake. Oldest joke in the book. It was 107 degrees, guys. 107. I was sweating like Bill Maher on BET. It was hot. Oh. I was sweating like Tiger Woods taking a field sobriety test.
Oh.
Hot, I'm telling you. I was sweating like anyone taking a sexual assault prevention class from Bill Cosby.
It's really hot.
Yeah. But, I suck at golf. And, it was a scramble. And the term scramble takes on a whole new meaning with my game. When I hit the ball, everyone scrambles.
Duck.
Yeah. But it was good for a good cause. It was for the Midnight Mission Shelter. I do shows down there every few months and host the open mic. And my buddies Joe Sibb and Grant Cotter always go with me, and we do some comedy. And Smokey Robinson was cool. When I told him I felt like quitting after 9 holes, he was like, I second that emotion. That was cool. Earlier today, Jamie Masada, the owner of the Laugh Factory, invited me to the Don Rickles Memorial that was held at a local temple. And that was amazing, man.
Cool.
All kinds of people had these great Don Rickles stories. Bob Saget was there, John Stamos, saw Tony Danza, Grossmaster General Jeff Ross got up and spoke. John McEnroe, Kathy Griffin was there. In fact, I sat right in front of Kathy Griffin. I think I was blocking her view because she looked like she wanted to cut my head off. No. Kathy's cool, actually. I had a nice talk with her. When you meet her, she's actually super cool, and she looked pretty hot. So, anyway, it was an interesting afternoon. and celebrating the great Mr. Warmth.
That's, can we go back to you saying that Kathy Griffith forgot?
She did.
She did?
Yeah. She. I mean, you know, yeah.
Okay.
Wasn't what I said last week about
Carrot
Top.
See that surprised look at Mike's face? I'm just saying.
Well, you know what? Let me tell you something. Kathy would... She would swoon if she met this guy. He is the board op from the future, the Texas Tornado. He's known throughout the West San Fernando Valley as a MILF magnet. Kid Cougar himself, Mike Fox.
He's regional.
Yeah. He only works the West Valley.
Exactly.
His charms work nowhere else.
No.
How are you, man?
Doing good. How are you doing, Brady?
I'm good. I'm good, buddy. And we've got a great show for you tonight. He came on our show a couple of weeks ago with the most incredible stories about L.A. radio. And tonight we welcome the return of the legendary Shadow Stevens with part two of his history of L.A. radio.
That was so cool.
And his L.A. radio stories are actually true, unlike my L.A. radio stories, which are totally fabricated.
Our alibis, actually.
Mostly to cover up something. So stick around anyway. Shadow Stevens, come on, he started K-Rock, started KMET, started KLOS. Started the airport parking channel, you know. Plus, he was Fred R. Rated from the Federated commercials. Remember those? They were great. He was amazing at that. So we'll probably be selling some stereo equipment out of the back of the station tonight. If you want to swing by, I'll hook you up. And also, back by popular demand, we just talked about him. Bill Cosby is going to be stopping by the show again tonight. So cover your drinks. That's right. We are rolling Kilo G here on the Fraser Smith Show, brought to you tonight by Mel's Manscaping Megastore, where the first cut is the deepest, and by the new Bill Cosby Sexual Assault Prevention Seminars. Remember, rule number one, stay away from Bill Cosby. 95.5 KLOS, the Fraser Smith Show. Yeah, player. That is the Stones. You got me rocking. 95.5 KLOS Rock, Southern California. Fraser Smith here. We have the great Shadow Stevens coming up in just a minute.
Love him.
Isn't he good? He is.
God, that guy is good. I have an intimate relationship with him.
You know the guy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know all his hard-to-reach places.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
This is going to be a treat for you.
Yeah, scratch deep there, Johnny.
Yeah, we're all going to have fun now. All right, well, we'll be back with Shadow as soon as he gets here. Right now it's time for events, guys. The sound of two forehands clapping. Okay. All right. Trump's Tacos has done it again, guys. They're adding another new menu item. Yeah, they're already famous for their comb-over quesadilla and their sensational grab 'em by the pupusa. And now this Thursday night, the Trump's Tacos in Glendale's is unveiling their newest menu favorite, the Fake News Fajita. It's a flour tortilla filled with nothing. And it's yours for free when you stop by on Thursday night. Plus, you can groove to the funky sounds of Trump tribute band Donnie and the Comb-Overs. And, of course, the rockin' sounds of Trump's Tacos' favorite, Vlad Putin and the Hackers. It's all popping off next Thursday night at the Trump's Tacos in Glendale.
Mexican food will never be the same.
It sure won't. And speaking of El Presidente, you don't want to miss the advanced screening of the Donald's new movie, Deplorable Me 3, which debuts this Saturday night at the Narclight Theater in Westwood. Critics say they have one word to describe the movie. It's despicable.
Yeah.
And stars Bo Bridges as Donald Trump and Bella Thorne as Melania. And Kevin Farley as Sean Spicer. That's Deplorable Me 3, Saturday night at the Narclight Theater in Westwood. Don't want to miss that one.
Can't wait.
And our favorite sponsor, Dumbass Dave, will be hosting his annual 4th of July bash next Friday, June 30th, at the Dumbass Dave's in Fullerton. It's a whole evening of pumpkin carving, tree trimming, and, of course, the traditional 4th of July Easter egg hunt. Plus, you can rock out to the smoking sounds of everyone's favorite house band, Dumbass Dave and the Droogies. That's the annual Dumbass Dave's 4th of July bash next Friday, June 30th, at Dumbass Dave's in Fullerton. Why celebrate the 4th of July in June? Come on. He's Dumbass Dave. That's right. By the way, are they still in Fullerton? We don't know.
They actually, it says on the card Fullerton, but they're in Anaheim.
Oh, are they? Okay. Typical of Dumbass Dave. That's it for events brought to you tonight by the new
I think there's a Panorama City as well.
Right. He's got a new location. You're right. That's right. He moves around a lot. He has to. All right, we're brought to you tonight by the new Bill Cosby Sexual Assault Prevention Seminars. Rule number one, stay as far away as possible from Bill Cosby. And we're also brought to you by, I can't believe it's not gluten, the gluten substitute that tastes like real gluten. Fraser Smith Show, and coming up next, Shadow Stevens. Is he here
love
yet?
Him. Love
he
him.
Is good. God, coming up wait. On the Fraser Smith Show after this. It is Rock of Southern California, 95.5 KLOS. Fraser Smith here. And joining me now, the legendary Shadow Stevens.
Well,
how about that, huh?
Oh, God.
Come on, that
I'm
guy.
I'm having fun already.
Well, yeah, and now, I understand you stopped at Trump's Tacos on the way over.
I did, and I got the come-over...
Quesadilla,
yeah. I mean, who doesn't like a little hair on your tostada?
On your taco?
Yeah, when it's, you know, you just pick them out of your teeth, and you get the flavor all over again.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Really good.
There it goes.
Yeah. And
I'm still picking it out.
There's literally a Trump's taco on every corner now.
I know. It's amazing how it's like, it's, you know, look for the big red head. everywhere, the spinning head, you know. You see that one on Sepulveda?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
One of them got spinning so fast it flew off onto the freeway.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah. Jesus.
Wiped out a bunch of people.
That's sad.
Yeah. All right, Shadow Stevens is with us. Now, where did we leave off?
That's a good question. Where did we leave off?
Well,
in our last thrill-packed episode.
You had discovered every station and started every station in town.
In town, yeah.
No.
Yeah, I'm all personally responsible.
I know, and you basically are. And that's kind of, I think, where we stopped, where you had discovered every station, and then we got about halfway into the K-Rock story.
Oh.
Halfway in, we had just gotten to the point where Gary Balcasta had gone to the bank and gotten a huge loan and then bought everybody cars, and I don't remember what happened after that, but... those were the days, and then when
yeah, you know,
when
and
did
I,
you
and
move?
I decided that he wasn't, you know, I thought of him as a con man for years and referred to him that way unapologetically because of what I was put through and everybody else, but I realized when I went out into the real world and had to raise money for my own project how hellish and unspeakable it is, and despite all my best intentions and best preparation, raising the money was unbelievably hard. And then I realized that he was never pitching something that wasn't there. It was actually there, and the product was terrific, but he just couldn't put the money together.
So you kind of give him a pass now?
I think they should build a statue for him, frankly.
I don't know if we want to go far, but...
He never got any of the glory for it, either in name or in finances.
And he really did put it all together.
He was the guy who hung in there when everybody else gave up. And it should have been off the air after I quit and the whole staff quit and the station went off the air for 2 years. One guy kept going, kept trying to, and then actually got it back
got
on.
It back.
Once it goes off the air, it's almost impossible to get the license back.
It's usually done, right?
It's done. And somehow, by some strange means, he was able to get it back on the air, and still they didn't have financing to support it. So through all of those next years, when I went back, I wasn't paid. I just sold my own time on the weekend and kept all the money. So I was okay. But everybody else was like really
like
really
me
hurting.
Was hurting.
Right,
yeah.
And you. Yeah,
yeah.
You were there.
Yeah.
And you know all of that. And, and everybody else who was sleeping on the couches in that god-awful studio.
I still remember going in there one day, and they had AM and FM, right?
Yes.
And I went in one day.
Triplephonic.
And a guy was doing, what had been the AM studio, the guy was talking really fast in Spanish, and they had sold it to
him. Oh, yeah, they sold it in Spanish. That's right. Yeah.
But that was a fun time.
And my friend Don Elliott bought that station. He owns that today.
Really, still?
Yeah. Well, no, just recently he bought it, like, in the last couple of years.
Wow.
For reasons I can't explain. But it was his passion to own a station, and so he bought this little AM station, and he has it.
Wow.
And he's doing something with it.
It was like a closet, and that was the
AM. Yeah, that's about right. Yeah.
Now, but when I first got there, we were actually across the street at the Pasadena Hilton in a suite.
Right, that's before I came back.
Oh, was it?
Gary said, I want you to come back. And I went, well, you know, I can't do that. I'll come back and I'll consult and I'll do my own shows on the weekend and sell my own time and keep all the money and I'll do the best I can. Because I know you're not going to pay them. I know that people aren't going to be paid. So you can't control people who aren't being paid. They're going to come up. They may do their shows. They'll do what they want to do. They'll bring their own music.
And that's what happened.
And that's pretty much what happened.
Yeah.
And so they, but it stayed on the air.
It did stay on the air, and then we moved across the street to,
That's where I came, in that awful little,
dress shop. I think it was a dress shop.
There was like a couple of, like, three-story, old brick building in Pasadena.
I think three stories is giving him too much credit.
Or was it two?
I think it was two.
Or was maybe two.
Yeah,
I think you're right. I think, and it was on the second floor.
Yeah. And you were my boss. All of a sudden, you were my boss.
Yeah.
And you had the, Shadow Stevens Tractor Sweat Stevens show.
Yeah. Shadow Tractor Sweat Stevens.
Stevens, yeah.
Cow Pucky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always loved that show. It was so it was Cow Pucky, then.
Cow Pucky.
Then Hollywood Night Shift.
Right.
Then Rodney.
And then Rodney. Yeah. Yeah, we put Rodney on.
Yeah. Rodney was right after.
Yeah, Rodney had been the. It was Rodney and the Glitter People on the Flo and Eddie show for all that time.
And that's where they found Rodney?
Was on
the Flo and Eddie show?
Yeah, he came in and it was Rodney and the Glitter People. Maybe he would bring in, because he always had this uncanny ability to find really amazing artists.
Oh, yeah.
He was terrible on the air and still to this day can't speak, but he has this psychic ability to attract, and he has great taste.
He can pick a star.
He always did.
Yeah.
And it was pretty remarkable. And then, you know, that became, you know, real. And then we put him on the air on his own show, and it was like, oh, God, he's hard to listen to, but, God, he picks good music.
He can pick him, man. Do you remember, because I remember the first night on the air on K-Rock, my first night on the air in L.A., Rodney was on after me, and he had some of the Ramones, Malcolm McLaren from Sax Pistols.
Blondie. Yeah.
Yeah, and Blondie and Tom Petty. And none of them had any
Amazing.
Product. Nobody had any product. And Rodney goes, they're all going to be stars. I was like, oh, you're right, Rodney. And then,
yeah.
And they were all
and
stars.
And they all were. And superhuman stars.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so he did have a good ear.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we had fun back in those days, man. Do you remember the Hollywood Night Shift? Do you remember that show?
Of course. Yeah. It was like right on after I listened to that on the way home.
Well, I had gone to Michael Swinberg. Right?
Mike Schweinsberg,
yeah, the program director. And said, well, you know, I was on the radio in Detroit and I want to do a show here in LA. And he goes, well, I don't know. So I said, well, how about if I get Phil Austin from Firesign Theater, who were hot at that time? And he goes, yeah, if you can get Phil Austin, I'll give you a show.
Right.
So I call up Phil and he was very reluctant.
Yeah.
Really, dude? And he goes, I've heard K-Rock doesn't pay and I don't want to, you know. I go, well, you know, just do one show and see how it goes. So we went out and did the show, and it was in the Hilton. And mm-hmm. I remember we're going up in the elevator, and he goes, this is like a Mexican movie, dude.
It really is.
Right?
And when I went over to that hotel and saw, and it was like a hotel, until you get to the whatever floor it was on, and then you get off at that floor, and there was a blah, 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 and there were people in the hallways drinking and smoking, and it was like,
yeah.
And there's the music, pom, 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 coming from somebody, from one of the...
Suites.
Rooms.
Yeah, rooms. Yeah.
Suites.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it a suite.
Yeah, junior suite or something. It wasn't hardly a suite.
Room service trays everywhere.
There they were, you know, with a little board and speakers. And
well, it was like a Flash microphone. Gordon board with the big pots from the old days. And I remember our first show, we're doing the show, and all of a sudden the station cuts out. You hear zzz, and this guy jumps up. We didn't even know he was there. This guy jumps out from behind the thing and flips open a switchblade. And I go, oh, great, we're going to get jacked. We're getting jacked on our first show. And it turns out it's Al Ramirez, the engineer.
Right.
So Al goes, hold on, guys. And he splices the wires together. Yeah, basically hot wires the station back on the air. And we were off and running.
Yeah, and then that went on for a bunch of years. I left around late 79, I think. And then... And then I don't, you know, what was his name? He called me and he said, you know, I'm going to go in as the new program director. And so what am I getting into? There's a good side and a bad side.
Right.
The good side is you'll have a chance to actually do something. And it is on the air, so make it good. Call it, you know, Rock of the 80s or something. You know, just like... You know, do something, get the music together, because everybody's bringing in their own music.
Right.
And you probably won't be paid.
Fair warning.
Yeah, it's like upside, downside, you know, go for it.
Yeah.
Well, and it may kill you, which in his case it actually did.
Rick, yeah.
Rick Carroll.
Rick Carroll, he was awesome, man. Awesome guy.
Yeah, good guy.
You know, but I remember, you know, Gary came in and said to me, your show's getting hot, because all of a sudden my Friday and Saturday night show started to take off. So he goes, I want to offer you mornings. And I go, wait a minute. So now I'm not going to get paid for 5 days?
Right.
Let's not do that.
Yeah, let's not. Yeah.
But I did have fun.
Get along.
I did what you told me. I brought my own music in. All right, we're coming back. Shadow Stevens is with us. That guy's
fun.
Yeah,
is just
good, isn't he?
The good part's coming up.
Yeah. Well, stick around. It'll be here. Frazier Smith Show, coming back after this.
This hour of rock brought to you by Smart and Final.
Frazier Smith Show, 95.5 KOS Rock, Southern California. Our guest, Shadow Stevens.
Frazier Smith.
Oh, I got to tell you.
Southern California.
Yeah. You got the best voice of all for radio, right? Don't you think, Mel?
Thank you.
Man, come on, man. He's the best. And you started when he was 9.
11.
11. 11.
10. Well, I mean, I built the radio station when I was 10.
Yeah, you built your own station.
Yeah. Yeah, I was. I know how do people live?
If I did that,
I was hanging. I literally at 10 years old, I put this 100-foot wire between my teeth and climbed off the second story. There was a way you could get out on the ledge and pull yourself up from the drain pipe onto the third to the roof story, which was the third story, and then shimmy up to the peak of the roof, crawl along the peak of the roof. Crawl to above my bedroom window, hang upside down, and hammer a loop into just below the roof, and then tie the wire to it.
Wow. That was good training for radio. All that you would use later at K-Rock.
Yeah, literally. It's so true.
Yeah. I'm going to have to,
wire this, splice that.
Well, I remember. That's so awesome, though, that you wanted to do it that badly.
And a lot of enthusiasm.
Had the Jones for it. You know, I always tell this story, but it's true. David Lee Roth used to climb up the fire escape
right.
at K-Rock and climb in through the window. And then he would kick the door in on my studio. He'd be like, dude, you got to play our test pressing. I'd be like, get out of here, man. He'd be like, no, you're going to be sorry, bro. We're going to be huge. I finally played it.
You know, my partner at that time, Robbie Davis, and I were responsible for calling Gazzari's the godfather of rock and roll. We gave him that
you
name.
You gave him that nickname?
Yeah, we used to go over there all the time because our studio was right across the street.
Your old studio on Doheny.
On Doheny, yeah. Sunset and Doheny.
Yeah.
And that was like 10 years. And we would go over to Gazzari's, who was one of the strangest people I've ever known in my life.
Very
strange. We would see Van Halen, who was the house band. We go, we should produce them. They're really good. And then we go, of course, we got busy and didn't. And a couple of years go by. But Bill had us come in one. And there are two amazing stories of people I've met that I have to tell. Bill Gazzari once proudly showed us his office. And what it was a toilet that had a desk that pulled out in front of it with a phone and a fax machine and notepads, so he could sit on the toilet for untold hours and conduct business. And he thought, isn't that genius?
Okay.
Like, what? And the other one was...
Only the Godfather.
We were looking for a house years ago out in Malibu somewhere, out by Point Doom. And we went to this house, and they showed us the master bathroom. And in the middle of the bathroom were two toilets sitting in the middle of the floor next to each other. And I say to the woman, well, that's different. And she said, I know. We thought of it ourselves. It's the only time my husband and I have a chance to talk.
Oh, wow.
That's a bad idea.
Wow.
Let's not talk.
Almost wish you hadn't told me that. Yeah.
I know. You can't wipe it out of your mind.
Really, that's
not a good visual at all. Well, the family that stays together.
Yeah.
All right.
What a weird world.
It was weird. And I remember back in the day, I was working at Starwood every once in a while with...
Oh, Ed, Starwood
with
was
Eddie
another
Nash,
one.
Right?
Yeah.
The legendary... that was a scary gig.
Sure. Yeah. Legitimately scary.
Yeah.
Scary people.
Do you want to be paid in money or cocaine? Let me get back to you on that.
Yeah. I got an answer for that.
Do I have friends in the parking lot? I could. No. those were the days, though, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
And the clubs were popping and a lot of new music going on?
Yeah, and K-Rock, I couldn't take anymore, so I left, and Rick Carroll was hired, and then I was just doing commercials, as you know.
Fred R. Rated,
yeah,
right?
And that's right at that era, like within the year, was when I started doing Federated Radio commercials.
Right.
And then they called me in to do a new contract. And during a two-hour conference room with a big screen, he was telling the television producer how much he hated their commercials. And if I could get them off the air right now, I would. They're sexist, they're stupid, they're pathetic, they're embarrassing. Don't you understand I want something simple and funny that makes people remember the name Federated? Is that too much to ask? And for the first time in 2 hours, I raised my hand. I said, how about this? I'll do a Dan Aykroyd, Bassomatic pitch man. Fast talking. At the end, I'll say Federated smashes prices, and I'll smash a television with a circus hammer. He goes, that's great. You should try that.
That is great.
I said, if I try it and it works, will you give me creative control? Because I never want to do the same thing twice, or everyone will want to kill me. He goes, and he rolls his eyes and goes, oh, okay, fine.
Wow.
And that weekend, business went up 500%.
Wow. And didn't you did you shoot those down in this area?
We shot them everywhere. Ultimately, I had my own studio. I had my own cameras and lights and a crew of, there were six of us altogether who did everything.
Uh-huh.
So we could shoot, in a park. We could shoot on the run, guerrilla style. We shot from the back of my Bronco aiming at the motor. We would be on motorcycles. We shot at the beach. We once did Fear and Loathing in Big Sur and shot in Big Sur. Took a truck with motorcycles and massive amounts of drugs up to Big Sur and shot commercials and did our
I knew
business.
There were drugs involved.
Yeah, it was, the best of times and the worst of times.
Those commercials were legendary and really fun to watch. And how did you just brainstorm with the crew to come up with the ideas?
Well, in the beginning, I wrote them with Robbie Davis until he and I, he went on to form his own company. And then I attracted these guys that ended up being like my tribe.
Right.
And the guys were the best people I ever worked with. We never had a fight. We never argued. Nothing ever went wrong with this.
You write them down, or
we would meet on Monday morning, and it would be brainstorming sessions. And everybody, including the interns or anybody that was part of the group, would be able to throw out ideas. And we'd throw out ideas, and we'd go, okay, how about you? You've got, okay, I've got Rabid Frog Bonanza Days. Rabid Frogs ate our warehouse, and we're passing the savings along to you. That's great. That's right. Okay, we're going to write that up. Now, you get the frogs. We're going to set up. We could probably shoot in a park, get some nets. And
there was a script, though?
Oh, yeah. There's always. In fact, it was a fanatical script. And I would have a first draft of 6 to 8 commercials a week on my desk by 2 in the afternoon. And then I would rewrite them all. And then I would rewrite them again. And then I'd give them back. And then he would rewrite. And we would nip and tuck. Until we shot on Wednesday, and then it would change every time we shot, no matter how brilliant we thought the script was. Sometimes we're in a studio, sometimes we're out in the world, and then it would change, and then we would make it up and figure it out while we were, on the run. And then we would edit on Thursday, turn them in Friday, and start the process again on Monday. This went on, because no commercial ever went longer than 10 days.
Oh, is that okay?
So we would do 6, 7, 8 different 30-second commercials a week, and they would run 10 days, and we'd do it again.
Now, how many years did that go on?
6 years.
Wow.
Yeah, so they went from 14 little stores in Southern California to 78 superstores, like Best Buy-sized stores, in 5 states in 4 years.
Wow.
And then the owner of the company sold it to Atari, and walked away with $40 million and went into buying real estate and relaxing.
Ah.
And the new guy came in, the guy who is the head of Atari, Jack Tramiel, I think his name was. He was an awful man. And he came in and he fired 800 people the first day. without severance.
He is an awful man.
And then he said, you know, we want you to do those commercials, but we're not going to pay you that kind of money anymore. You know, it's like, and I went, okay, well, goodbye. So I tried to work with him for like a couple of weeks, and it was awful. And I said, no, I can't do this. So, and at that time, because of all of the attention the commercials got, now all of a sudden I had, you know, things coming up. I had a 3-picture deal with Dino De Laurentiis to do film, and I thought, oh, this guy, I'm going to have a chance to be an actor. And then Hollywood Squares came along.
Yeah.
And so I had some options, and things were kind of percolating, and so I started working on that. And then 9 months later, they called me back and they said, how much would it take for you to come back and do the commercials again? And I got to tell them, you don't have enough money.
Ah. And they
went bankrupt 6 months later.
Did they? Oh,
yeah.
Man. Good. Well,
Shut the whole thing down.
Wow. All right. We're coming back with Shadow Stevens. Want to find out about Hollywood Squares. That had to be a good gig.
A great one.
Yeah.
Had to be total fun.
All right, Fraser Smith Show, we're coming back with Shadow Stevens, 95.5 KLOS. Hey, this is the first song ever played on K-Rock, right?
I believe so.
Yeah. I Googled that.
95.5 KLOS, a Cumulus Media Station.
It is the Rock of Southern California, 95.5 KLOS, Fraser Smith, Fraser Smith Show. And joining us, Shadow Stevens.
Love that guy.
He's a good guy. We got past Fred R. Rated, and we got past the start of K-Rock.
Yeah, I should mention that I got sober in the mid-Fred Rated.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, it went from using into convulsions and carrying guns to stopping, and then the commercials inexplicably got better.
Really? Because I would have thought the other way around.
No. Well, yeah, I could show you examples of, you know, puffy Fred. And then the new streamlined Fred after I lost 50 pounds. It made a difference.
Sure.
Who knew?
Well, hey, it's television. You know. Speaking of television, you went on to do the Hollywood Squares. And how did that come about?
Well, that has a mysterious kind of background as well. When I was in Boston, a guy named Rick Rosner was a young producer. And he came on and he discovered me on WRKO. And we were really popular. It was a really... like 34% of all people listening to radio listened to WRKO. So I was like, you know, the hot new young guy. And Rick discovered me, and he put me on a show called Tempo Boston with Dave Garraway.
Wow.
And Dave was like the legend, you know, from talk television. And I was like the guy who would come on and talk about the Paul is Dead conspiracy and tell all of that stuff. And then that led to Rick producing my own show, which was called Gazebo, which was a music-oriented, weekend show. And then when I came out to L.A. And went to KHJ, before K-Rock and before KRLA, it was KHJ, which was like one of the top stations in the country.
Yeah, Boss Radio, right?
And I went to, and I became the on-camera sidekick to Steve Allen.
That still, to me, is an unbelievable credit.
It was.
Yeah.
And at the time, I was so out of my element. I was so young and so sweaty. I was like, I'm telling you, I sweat. They would come over and they go, boy, you really sweat. And underneath, my shirts were soaked. I'm like, I am so out of my element. I'm sitting here with one of the geniuses of all time who does
national
everything.
Television. And,
National television. He's hilarious. He's a writer. He's written a billion songs. He plays every instrument. You go, play the xylophone. And you go, oh, you play the piano. Play anything.
Unbelievable talent.
So there I am, you know, with him. And that lasted for a bit. And that was produced by Rick Rosner.
Ah.
And so then that's why I didn't get promoted to KHJ, because I went in to be promoted. I was supposed to be promoted when the next guy left. And they said, well, we don't know if you want to be on television or radio, so we can't promote you.
Are
you kidding me?
Good to be on both?
On both, yeah, wouldn't you think? But that's the way they were. And that same thing happened. So then I quit, and I was hired by KRLA. And a few months later, they made me program director, and I was 23 years old.
Wow.
And I became like the youngest program director of a major station in the country, and in 6 months it beat KHJ, so then it became a really big thing. Now during this time, I get a signed contract to do this new rock television show that was coming up on NBC. It was called the Midnight Special. have the contract.
Oh, wow.
I get the contract. I sign it. I go in and tell my manager, good news, national television show, I'm the host. And he goes, well, you've got to decide who puts the butter on your bread. What? Well, you got to decide whether you're going to be in television or radio. But it's, you know, good for everybody.
It's good for everybody.
Promote
yeah.
the station. Goes, think about it. So that night I
wow.
quit. That was a Thursday. The pilot was to be shot on Friday. That night they hired Wolfman Jack.
Oh.
And
oh.
Wolfman Jack went on for the next 10 years to host the Midnight Special.
Wow. Wow. The good luck gene was not.
No. Yeah, it's like I've done a whole art series. You can see it. I have this website, shadowart.com, and it's called The Transdimensional Symbolism of Rocky Waters. Rocky Waters being a metaphor for difficult times. And the thread of continuity of it is Rocky is the hero. And it is just when he thought he was winning the game, fate took a turn down a blind alley. And suddenly he was forced to think, to confront fear, doubt, and change. And so all of these canvases, they're big pieces, are all different states of mind of terror, paranoia, fear, despair.
Sounds like my career.
Yeah, or all of it.
All I mean, of our
and
careers,
that's,
yeah.
that's the whole point of it, is that, you know, you can't count on anything. You know,
yeah.
you try, you get really good, and sometimes you make breakthroughs, and then from out of nowhere, bam, it hits the fan, and everything stops, and you go, oh, what do I do now? And you can't let it beat you down. You
nope.
just got to rise up
yeah.
and try again.
Yep, and so did Hollywood Squares appear?
Rick, now, during this time, during Federated, Rick called me and he said, I'm bringing back Hollywood Squares. Would you come and be the announcer for the pilot? I went, sure. So I do the pilot. It becomes the biggest hit of the year. It's the number one hit of the year.
Everyone loved it.
Everyone loved it. He says, oh, we're going to do it live, so I want you to come and be the announcer. I said, no. I have this shot, this one moment in time where I might get a chance to act. And I gotta grab it. And I don't want to be known as an announcer.
Right.
And so I turned it down three times. The fourth time, he said, "I'll tell you what. We'll put you in a square, and you can talk about the things you've got, and it'll actually do the announcing from the square. So you'll be doing both. You can talk about the movie you're making. You can fine. I do it. So then, you know, it takes off like a rocket. It's got this big thing, and from this tiny little studio in Hollywood, and the show becomes, you know, the biggest hit." In America.
And you were one of the squares.
And I was a permanent
square. You were
sitting
there
right under Joan Rivers.
Oh, were you really?
Yeah.
That's a dangerous spot.
Yeah, truly.
Who else was on?
Bob and Weave.
Who was on your, you know, your version of it?
Jim J. Bullock was there, and he was terrific.
He's really funny, yeah.
He really is funny,
yeah.
And he was wonderful. And I always thought he would be a giant star, and fate took a turn down a blind alley. So
yeah, seemed like it. All that he was funny.
Yeah, he was great. And then it was all, you know, it was all mixed up. You know, different stars and
did you?
It was a great era, and it was John Davidson was the host,
right? John
and
Davidson,
during that
yeah.
period, they wanted me to fill in for John when he went on vacation once. So they said, we need somebody to do your part. Who do you recommend? I said, you got this new guy in New York. The hottest thing in New York's name is Howard Stern, and he would be great. And they go, who?
Oh,
what?
No.
He's just in New York?
Wow.
Went, yeah, but we're on in New York. And they go, well, okay, well, we'll give it a try. So he comes out, and I'm hosting, and Howard's sitting in my square, and he gets through the first show, and he goes, Shadow, kill me. I hate this.
Oh,
this
no.
is the worst day of my life. This is not working. I'm in hell. And I talked him through it. You know, we talked, and I said, no, you're making too big of a deal. Here's what you do. You just do this. And so he comes back, and he keeps going, and he came off fine.
Yeah.
But he hated it.
I didn't like it.
But it established a great relationship between he and I that continues to this day.
Oh, that's cool.
Now, happened. That was all Rick Rosman.
Was that where the answers written for you on that show?
No. They would give you jokes.
Right.
And sometimes my thing was bluff. My whole angle was making up something, a story, a compelling story. And I'll give you a good example. And one of the really funny ones, we did the shows down in the Bahamas. And we were there doing it on the beach. And John holds up this little animal. And he says, Shadow, what is this called? I said, well, I'm glad you asked me that. It's called a slammagoy. It is a native, indigenous to the islands. It actually drinks seawater, and it's on the Bahamian currency. It's a slammagoy. And she goes, I agree. No, wait, it's a raccoon. And it was. It was a baby raccoon.
Oh, wow.
But, I mean, everybody.
Nice try, though.
And so it got to be one of those where I would make up a story about anything and say it with great conviction. And then people started guessing that I was always making up a story. So if I knew the right answer, then I would make up a story about the right answer and tell it with the same kind of conviction. And then you had to really be on your toes. And I'm sure.
So that was your thing, though, the bluff.
Yeah, mine was the bluff. Most people did jokes, and they would give them jokes. And then if they knew the answer, they could answer. Or if they didn't, then they could, you know.
Do the joke.
Yeah, the joke, right.
Interesting. And did you, Joan Rivers, was it fun working with her?
She was great, but she wanted to be the smartest person in the room always. And so she was, like, really prepared. She was a real pro. She put more work into that than any of it. I mean, we would show up and it would be great, and I would write my little bluff things. But the most difficult part of the process was having to come up with five outfits,
five shows
in one day.
That's tough.
Yeah, it can be tough.
All right, Shadow Stevens is with us. We're going to come back and find out what a slammagoy really is.
Slammagoy.
Sorry.
Yeah,
sorry.
It's a Jewish thing.
You're going to slammagoy? Is that what you're doing?
Slammagoy.
All right. Well, you're in the right place. All right, Fraser Smith Show. We're coming back with more with Shadow Stevens after this.
There's a reason I've been telling you about MeUndies for months now. They are simply the softest, most comfortable underwear you'll ever try on. And once you try them on, you won't want to wear anything else unless you're naked or in your swimsuit. And actually, I've used MeUndies as a swimsuit.
You can. I mean, they come in all these different colors and patterns. It's really, really cool. And they're so comfortable. So if you're used to buying packs of uncomfortable, boring underwear that only come in
boring.
I know, white, gray, black, or tan. MeUndies is going to change everything. They are changing the underwear game. And that's because MeUndies comes, like I said, in all kinds of colors and patterns. And they release a new limited edition pattern each month that always sell out. And this month is rainbow confetti print called Celebrate. Try MeUndies today. Go get the Celebrate pattern before they're all gone at MeUndies.com/FHF. You're going to save 20% off your first pair. And you have to feel for yourself to see why MeUndies has sold over 5 million pairs to date.
And if you don't love your first pair of MeUndies, they're free.
Yeah, I mean, you have nothing to lose. Get 20% off your first pair, plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/FHF. Do it right now. That's MeUndies.com/FHF. Tell them one more time, Frank.
MeUndies.com/FHF.
Now, the last commercial. In 60 seconds, we rock.
Hey, it's Rosty. Did you know that Amco has easy payment plan options for almost any credit situation? If you think you have a transmission problem, if your car just doesn't feel right, or if the service light is on, more than likely you can fix it fast and pay it off slow at your neighborhood Amco. And right now, the expert technicians at Amco will perform an initial transmission check at no cost. Car problems are like toothaches. They only get worse with time, so don't let a potentially small problem turn into a big, expensive, painful one. By the way, Amco is the preferred vendor for most warranty companies. If you think you have a problem, doesn't it make sense to take your vehicle where the warranty companies prefer? So call the guys at Amco today. Visit AmcoSoCal.com. You'll find a center near you. That's Amco, AAMCO. Amco, transmissions, and a whole lot more.
All right, the Rock of Southern California, Fraser Smith on the Fraser Smith Show. Shadow Stevens is our guest, and
thank you for
coming on, everybody.
Thank you, thanks. Please sit down. I'll get a big head. Oh, that's enough.
Come on,
one guy over.
I'm gonna clap along too. Come on, you're worth that. All right, so we were talking about Hollywood Squares. That was cool, and then you did a sitcom.
Before the sitcom, I did. I had a shot at doing a 1 hour. Drama comedy, and it was with Fred Silverman, the legend.
Legendary Fred Silverman, yeah, NBC. You know,
legendary producer, and he ran NBC, ABC, and CBS and made them all number one at different times.
He was pretty awesome. He discovered David Letterman.
I mean, he's the guy.
Yeah.
And so I'm paired with him. I meet with him, and he said, what would you like to do? And it's, you know, like a Miami Vice that was funny. You know, it's like something that where you do characters, go undercover. And so they would develop this with a guy, a writer named Dean Hargrove, who wrote all of his big hits, Matlock and
sure,
all the shows that he did. And so they came up with this, what it turned out to be is kind of lethal weapon-like. It was called Loose Cannon.
Ah.
Max Monroe, Loose Cannon. And it was actually, it had great moments and had great stuff in it. But Fred had the nerve to have a heart attack in the middle of production. So he wasn't there for the development. He wasn't there for the negotiations with the network about where to place it, or how to promote it, or anything. And it goes on the air on Friday nights, and it wasn't, you know, the hit of the year.
I vaguely remember.
I've got clips of it on YouTube that you would like it.
Did it have some really moments?
It had some great moments.
Did it?
Some quite funny, some very clever, and it lasted a short time, and then that went down.
And you were the lead.
And I was the lead. Yeah. I was Max Monroe.
I remember that.
It had as much success as Tracks, my movie that I made. I had this 3-picture deal with Dino De Laurentiis. Thought this, and it was a funny script, and it's a pretty funny movie. Not really well done, but it had promise, and we really tried hard
on Tracks.
And then, just when he thought he was winning the game, Faye took a turn down a blind alley.
Here we go.
So we finished the thing. I go out there the very first shot of the first day of shooting, and I go out and it looks amazing, like a western town, and the lighting is amazing. And I see that they put in the town square 3 electric chairs, and they have the 3 villains of the film. This is like toward the end of the film, they say. And it had them in these little nighties, you know, like children wear it with the foot. I don't know what you call those. With the footsies.
The onesie or whatever they call
whatever they called.
Yeah.
Red, white, and blue.
Oh, yeah.
No,
yeah.
It's horrifying. I look at it and go, this is the stupidest. This is corny humor, the worst kind of humor in the world. I go to the writer-producer. I say, okay, explain to me why this is funny. I've got a really good sense of humor. You've got to explain why. And he goes, no, this is great. Oh, people are going to love this. And I wrote in my journal that night, we're doomed.
Canceled. Yeah.
We're doomed. Yeah. He's like, I'll do my best, but there's no hope. And as it turned out, the film was completed, and then Dino De Laurentiis went bankrupt. He bankrupted the company.
Wow.
And so the assets were sold off to HBO, who slapped on a $1,000 music track and put it out. They ran it a little bit on HBO or Cinemax or something. And it never really got put together properly.
It wasn't done the way you'd hoped.
No, yeah. And it has the worst soundtrack in the history of movies.
Really?
Period.
Wow.
Yeah, period.
Tracks. Look for it, folks.
You can see it on YouTube. Then I went in and I cut the entire movie down to 1 hour and took out all the bad music and all the stupid stuff and kept all the good stuff. So it's like bam, 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 this to this to this to this. And I think it's called Tracks Reimagined or something like that.
And you can see it on YouTube?
It's on YouTube.
I'm going to go check it.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
It's pretty funny.
All right. So now you've had a lot. Heart attacks, bankruptcy.
Heart attacks, bankruptcies. Then came Dave's World. About a year later.
Yeah, Dave's World was awesome.
Cannon,
right?
Dave's World was terrific.
Yeah.
And it was a great experience. 4 years. It was a hit sitcom on CBS.
Yeah, good show.
Like top 20 show. And Harry Anderson and Meshach Taylor, really, really good people.
Great
really
cast.
Great writing.
Yeah.
It was a thoroughly enjoyable experience. The little boy that was on the show, Zane Carney, has become a world-class guitarist. He's like as good as guitarists get today. He's amazing. And he's about 6'3 or 6'4, very striking looking. His brother, Reeve Carney, is maybe the son of John Lennon and Freddie Mercury.
Really?
He's so talented that you just shake your head and go, oh my God. Look him up. He has an album that came out about 6 months ago, Reeve Carney, and Youth is Wasted on the Young, something like that. Every song on it is remarkable, and he recorded them all in his apartment with his own equipment, played every instrument, sang all the vocals, all the choruses, all the harmonies. Everything is him.
Wow.
And you go, this sounds like an orchestra. No, it's him. And then he goes and performs it live, and it's like a one-man band where he has like a bass drum with his right foot and a snare with his left foot, and he plays an amazing guitar or piano.
So
and has a voice like Freddie Mercury or John Lennon. Honestly, he's remarkable.
Wow. So the Carney brothers.
Yeah, the Carney brothers. Okay, and then they have a sister, Paris Carney, who's also quite talented and very attractive.
That darn family.
Yeah, the Carneys.
They're taking over.
They're good.
Yeah. They always said Carneys would take over.
Yeah, there
well,
they are.
You've had an amazing career.
Yeah.
Amazing, man.
Yeah,
and what's
crazy.
Next? What's the next project for Shadow Stevens?
Well, you know, I've been, you know, I do a lot of voiceovers. I do, and the voice of Antenna TV Network and all of their promos and IDs and all of that kind of stuff I do on a regular basis. And the Craig Ferguson show.
You were
Sirius.
Great on Craig Ferguson. Isn't he a super funny, talented guy?
Super funny. Like, he has the gift of spontaneous eloquence.
That guy's awesome.
There are times when I've met with him and he's talking and he just says stuff and I think, I should write that down. It cannot be said better than that. I would have to sit and write that in order to come out that eloquent.
Yeah.
And he's just funny as hell.
He's hilarious.
And a really good guy.
Yeah, I met him a couple times. He was super cool.
Yeah,
yeah.
His live
that?
Shows are really fun. No, I did that for almost 10 years, and now I do his radio show.
Oh, do you?
Sirius.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then I have a deal that I just made with Vin DeBona, who created America's Funniest Videos, and he and I are partners on a new project that I created.
The Billion Dollar Man.
The Billion Dollar Man. And then there's a half a dozen other projects that are in advanced states of development. I have one that is being considered to be an animated feature film, family film from children's books that I wrote 25 years ago.
Those children books are awesome. You showed me those.
Well, the Big Galoot.
Yeah,
Big Galoot. The Big Galoot was
awesome.
Because I'd written this long one that was a trilogy. It was so long that I knew it would never get printed. So I wrote the Big Galoot in order to provide the pathway so that I would one day be able to make the other one, and then
you showed me those books. Did you do the artwork? Who did the artwork?
I hired a guy named Ron Jobe from Canada. I had done the sketches of what the pages would be and the characters, but he did this
pretty genius
amazing
stuff, right?
Yeah, bright, saturated colors, really kind of psychedelic.
That's a great project too.
That's a good one too.
Yeah, man, he doesn't sleep, folks. He's like a shark.
I can sleep when I'm dead.
He's on the move always.
Yep.
Great to see you.
Great to see you.
And I'm a big fan. And
likewise.
And it's really cool to have you on the show.
Well, Frazier and I wrote several scripts together.
We're still going to sell
one. Good.
Yeah,
I think we will someday.
Yeah, we might have to.
They're very clever, very funny.
Don't you think?
Yeah, I love working with you. It's like, here's a guy that shows up, does the work, laughs. We never get into arguments. We just go, oh, yeah, well, that'd be funnier. Oh, let's do that. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, actually, that's my stunt double. I'm a lot more difficult.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
you're the pain in the ass.
I'm the pain in the ass.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Shadow, great to see you.
Good to see you.
Love you, man. There you. It's a great Shadow Stevens, Frazier Smith Show, 95.5 KLOS. Hello. All right, 95.5 KLOS, the Rock of Southern California. Frazier Smith on the Frazier Smith Show. And I should thank the Ding Dongers, but I can't really do that. they're causing a lot of problems here. You know, $5,000, I had to give $5,000 away last week because Don said I was, and then my boss yelled at me. I don't know what's going on with those guys. Did you really go to their show?
Oh yeah. I mean, I think it was there. You know, it was pretty.
It's hard to tell.
Crazy that night.
It's hard to tell.
With the
Ding. But I did miss Schizo in his Millard Fillmore impression. This guy comes in every week and starts just launching into a Millard Fillmore impression, which no one gets it all, right?
No,
who knows even who that is? All right, Kelsey Cook is with us. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you?
Nice to see you, my friend.
Thank you. One little slow clap in the back.
Well,
I like that.
That's all we got.
It.
I'm going to add a couple to that.
Thank you. It's too late now, Frazier.
Sorry. Good to see you.
It's good to see you, too.
And you just flew back into town. Where were you?
Yeah, I was at the San Jose Improv all weekend.
One of the best clubs, right?
It's amazing. I was shocked. It's not a club. It's a theater. Like, it's so beautiful. I was there featuring for Gad Elmaleh. Do you know who he is?
I don't think I know Gad.
He's the number one comedian in France.
I know Gad.
Okay, yes.
I do know Gad, yeah.
Huge in France. And so I didn't realize that most of his crowd this weekend, even in San Jose, are primarily French-speaking people.
Really?
So there was like probably at least three or four times in my set where I would say something and just have people staring at me.
Oh.
Like I said the word Hulk, and nobody knew who the Hulk was.
Wow.
I did a joke about foosball. They didn't know foosball. I had to like translate in French for a second. It was a very weird experience.
You think Hulk would be universal?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you?
I guess not, yeah.
Wow.
It's very, very interesting.
That is, I do know who he is.
Yeah.
And he's cool.
He's wonderful.
Nice guy,
he was
right?
so nice.
Nice guy. And he's able to do that. And I'm always impressed with people who can. There was a woman at the Laugh Factory the other night who was the top comedian in Germany.
Oh, wow.
And she got up on stage and was actually very funny. There was a couple times she really, the sentence didn't really make sense. But overall, she did really well.
It's incredible.
It's pretty hard to do. I couldn't do it.
Yeah, I can't imagine. And he does so well in English, like, just kills. I mean, it's applause break after applause break, and that's not even his native language. It's crazy.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I would need an SAP button.
Yeah. Somebody throw some subtitles on this.
Yeah, we could handle that.
Yeah.
Well, you are a really talented comedian. I'm a fan of yours.
You.
Yeah, you're really funny and very talented. And
thanks, Granger.
And I loved the material about foosball.
Because
it was weird. The first time I heard you do that bit, I had actually played foosball for the first time in like 20 years the day before.
No way.
Yeah, I forget where I was, and I was playing foosball, and I thought, it's a tricky game if you never play. And aren't your mom and dad like world champions?
Yeah, so they met playing in a professional foosball tournament. So
wow, I'm surprised you ever showed up.
I know, right? Like the most nerdy virgin people somehow made me. I wouldn't exist if it weren't for foosball.
It made me think of Waterboy.
Yeah.
Right?
With Kathy Bates. That's awesome.
Kathy Bates goes, "You're not playing foosball."
Yes, that's right. Yeah, it's a weird thing.
It's a weird game. So how good are they? They must be pretty good.
So they're good. My dad hasn't competed on a professional level in a long time, but my mom still does. My mom still goes to like the World Cup in France every year.
Really?
And she and I just got first place in women's doubles in Vegas in March. So
you really?
Yeah.
You and your mom?
Yeah, we were a team. It was exciting.
Wow. That's not the kind of fantasy I was thinking, but foosball.
Oh, God.
But
anything involving my mom and I.
Oh, man. So you're still good. You're good at it too.
Yeah, I mean, they've had me playing since I could stand on a stool and see the top of the table. I mean, I'm actually upset that I'm not better because I have the DNA and, like, my whole life been playing. I should be a prodigy.
If mom and dad are both world champions,
Yeah.
Now, what is the secret to good foosball?
Ooh, I mean, it's a lot of hand-eye coordination.
Yeah.
I think that's mostly what it boils down to. Some people drink at the tournaments where they play, and they think that helps them. It totally
probably
works
doesn't.
The
right?
opposite for me, because it's such a, like, every little movement in foosball is so precise, and if you're off by even a millimeter, the ball can go somewhere completely differently. So I can't drink and play. But
wow, can you pass to the other?
Yeah,
you can do all that.
I'll show you a little video on the break. We've got videos on the plane.
Oh, cool! Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah,
and you and your mom won the championship.
Yeah, of women's expert doubles in Vegas. Every year in Vegas, they have the Hall of Fame foosball tournament. In March, it's at the Flamingo. It's crazy.
I got to put that in my calendar.
It is the best people watching you'll ever.
Oh, that I can imagine.
Encounter.
Yeah.
It's like it's foosball and it's in Vegas. It's just it's layers out of reality. It's like Inception. You know what I mean? It's just you're drowning in it.
Somebody tell Christopher Guest.
Yeah.
is there a foosball attire? You wear it, is it like
there's some people who are on teams together that get matching uniforms.
Uh-oh.
Like little polo. Some people have sweatbands. Like it's legit. People get worked up.
Did you and your mom dress up?
We didn't. We wore pretty normal clothes, but
But you guys won.
Yeah,
was it
so
hard?
Cool.
Did you was
yeah, it was tough competition. She and I had been playing doubles together before, and for some reason it never lined up really well, but this year was the first time that it worked out. We won. We were super excited.
That is pretty cool. That is really cool. To be a champion, world champion in anything is very tricky.
Yeah.
All right. Kelsey Cook is with us. She's a foosball champ, guys, so watch it. Frazier Smith Show. Can you win money at bars doing
yes,
that?
Yes.
You
hustle
can?
Hustle people.
Can you
hustle
people?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. All right. We're coming back with Kelsey after this on the Frazier Smith Show, 95.5 KLOS. All right, The Rock, Southern California, 95.5 KLS, Frazier Smith Show. Kelsey Cook is our guest, and we were talking about foosball, of all things, because she's a world champ.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Thanks.
What'd you get, a trophy? Or
got a trophy and a little bit of money.
Did you get some dough?
Yeah, because it's every time you go to the tournament, it's like gambling. You have to pay entry fees, and then you hope that you play well enough to win them back.
To win it back,
yeah. Yeah, a little bit of money.
Can you win big money or no?
There's a couple guys who are the top in the world at it, and they can make their living on foosball. But that's, I mean, they go to every tournament, and they place first in pretty much every event. So then they're making a decent living. It's nothing extravagant, but they can get by, which is pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. So yeah. You can hustle people in bars, though, huh?
Yeah. I did it, I don't do it that frequently, but... Earlier in the year, I was at the Idaho Laugh Fest in Boise, and there was this sweet, very, like, Mormon couple who came up. They came up to me. I didn't even have to go out of my way, and they were like, we're going to play some foosball, and we're just looking for somebody else to play with us. Would you like to play? And I was like, oh, my gosh, I've always wanted to play that game. That sounds like so much fun.
Oh, you are a hustler.
And then I, like, did some sort of trick shot, and they're like, oh, I think you've played before, and I just crumbled. Like, I couldn't take their money. They were so nice. But if it's a douchey frat guy, then I'll totally,
we could, yeah, a
I'll
douchey
totally
frat
wait
guy.
Till there's some money on the table. And
we can
it.
Hustle those freaks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like to manage you in this. That is really cool, though.
Thanks.
So now, your stand-up comedy, and you're from originally from where? Seattle area?
I'm from Spokane, so the eastern, more methy part of the state.
Ah.
And then I moved to Seattle.
Well, meth and foosball have something in common.
A lot of white trash in my blood.
You can really spin those things.
Yeah.
So Spokane, and how did you get interested in stand-up comedy?
I was in college. I was going to Washington State University, and I originally thought I wanted to be a high school math teacher, which now sounds like a death sentence. It sounds horrifying.
You made the right career choice.
Yeah, and I just kind of... about halfway through college, was hating all the math stuff and started to do some of my college's improv things. And some of those people were doing open mics. So I went to an open mic at a cafeteria, which is the worst place to ever start your comedy career.
I know, because you got to wear a hairnet.
Yeah, super glamorous.
Yeah.
But anyway, it stuck. And then now it's been 8 years and get to do it full time. So
oh, man,
super
you
happy.
Are so good, too.
Oh, yeah. You're so
you really
so
are.
Sweet.
You
Thank
really
you.
Are good. Now, did you have comics that you looked up to? Did you like women comedians like Joan Rivers and or
yeah.
comedians that were your favorites?
I remember seeing a lot of like Amy Schumer, Rachel Feinstein were starting, I think, to get their Comedy Central specials,
right.
or early Comedy Central specials. Louis loved Louis C.K. Then some others kind of came later, like Rory Scovel. I love Rory Scovel so much.
Uh-huh.
And just, I mean, now it's there's so many amazing people, but I'm trying to think of right in the very beginning, those were people I loved.
And did you watch comedy on TV and stuff, stand-up? And-
Yeah. I know that, like, right when I was starting, Dane Cook was really booming, so he was the most mainstream. Like, that was the big thing.
And you share a last name.
I do. Yeah.
With the great Dane Cook.
Yeah. No relation, but he was so big
when I
started.
A favorite of yours,
yeah. Yeah, right when I started. And then now I've been touring with Jim Norton for the last 2 years.
Oh, that's right. He is a favorite of mine.
Yeah, absolutely. One of my favorites. I've been working with Ralphie May, too, and he's also just
another one
so
of my old
funny.
Buddies.
Yeah. So great.
Those
so.
Guys are both great.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Well, you must be pretty good working with those guys. That's
thanks.
Yeah. Now, you're traveling around a lot because you're kind of in demand now.
Oh, thanks.
We tried to get you on the show and... It was like, oh, I've got foosball this weekend, and then doing comedy.
You have to understand, Fraser. The foosball life is calling me.
That's cool, though. Do you enjoy the travel and stuff?
I do. It's cool to see different cities all the time. It gets to be a little disorienting sometimes. It's weird. I don't know if you've experienced this. I'm sure you have, where it's like you're driving around in that city, and all of a sudden you don't know where you are.
I experienced that tonight on the way here. I have that happen a lot.
Who am I? What is my name?
Where am I now?
That happens a lot now where I'm like, what coast am I even on right now? Because all the cities just kind of blur
together, yeah.
But it's really cool. It's tough on my relationship because I have an amazing boyfriend.
You want to introduce your boyfriend?
We have, my boyfriend Kane Holloway.
Kane, what's cracking?
Hey, what's going on?
How are you, buddy?
I'm doing fantastic.
And you're a Red Sox fan?
I've got this hat like 14 years ago when my uncle went to Boston. And yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm originally from Seattle. I'm a huge Mariners fan.
Oh, are you? Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, but I rock a Red Sox hat, and so I find myself having to lie to people all the time.
I do that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my team.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm from Quincy, I just drop an accent.
Where'd you guys meet?
We met in an open mic in Seattle. About
oh, you're
six...
stand-up too, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome, man.
Yeah, we met about 6 years ago. So yeah, traveling is tough because I've got him and we've got three cats. So when I'm gone, it's tough.
It is. The cats get very lonely.
They do.
We have several cat shelters in this neighborhood. Did you notice that?
Do
pet
you?
Shelters? Yeah. They're pet hotels. There's
keep
about
me away
five
from
of
them.
Them.
I have a problem.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Well,
okay.
Yeah, to have three, I mean, we're outnumbered now, so it's kind of a scary situation.
Now, you guys, do you work together or are you usually going somewhere different?
Usually somewhere different, but if we can get booked together, it's awesome. Because then it's the best. It's like a paid couple's vacation.
Yeah, that's
where
cool.
We're doing what we love. So that's always great.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
And do you share jokes at all? No?
Yeah, sometimes I'll open up and talk about my breasts hurting and stuff like that.
Foosball.
I do a lot of foosball material.
Yeah. We do help each other, though, with jokes, which is nice. It's hard to imagine dating a non-comedian, you know.
Especially 6 years in.
Yeah.
Could you, like, try and imagine bouncing a joke off of somebody who works at the supermarket? It just wouldn't...
I do that all the time. That's why my act is so weird. But, you know, the guy at Ralph's loves it.
A lot of weird influences, for sure.
So you guys do try out material together, though. That's cool.
Yeah.
Like, if you're driving along, you go, hey, how about this one? It's my new...
Yeah, we'll bounce stuff off each other. We've gotten to know each other's comedic voices so well at this point that I think we trust each other as people to be like,
that's important to have that too, right? Because then you don't have to go to a open mic to see if your joke works.
Yeah.
Yeah, anymore. I mean, or even do a show.
Yeah, really. Why bother doing the show? She laughed. I mean, I got the laugh.
That's all I need.
Yeah. Now, it's really good to meet you, man.
Yeah.
And as far as the whole Kathy Griffin thing, because I saw Kathy today. I actually saw her.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I ran into her.
How's she doing?
She was actually pretty, looked okay.
She looked a little more chipper? Okay.
Yeah, she seems like she's coming back a little bit. Oh. And I saw her at the Don Rickles Memorial.
They
had today, which was fascinating, you know, and I was a huge Rickles fan, and so it was cool to be able to go to that.
Yeah.
I looked behind me, there's Kathy.
Wow. You know?
Yeah.
Did you talk to her about the incident?
I did, and she's cool. She's come back down off of, I think, you know, freaking out, and she seems pretty together about it right now. So.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And now, what did you think of that whole situation?
Well, I mean, it's so tough. I think we as comics, I think it's our job to kind of push the boundary and challenge certain ideas. But it is tough with him actually being the president. If you're holding up a replicated severed head of his, I mean, it's going to...
Not actually a smart move.
Right. Yeah. Like, it's going to get backlash. So it's tough.
Yeah, I think so. I think she knows that. I think she knows she made a big mistake. But... You know, when I saw her today, she seemed cool.
Yeah, she's so sweet. I got to meet her in Vegas at a show with Jim, and she was the nicest.
Very nice.
So nice,
and
yeah.
Talented stand-up.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And so you were an Amy Schumer fan, too.
Yeah.
Yeah,
she...
Have you met her? Did you ever meet her?
I did. I met her a few years ago. She used to open for Jim, actually, and so...
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, so it's been cool to... reading her book, to read her stories of being on the road with Jim, and kind of see some similarities and stuff,
sure.
of, like, things she experienced. And it's been so fun on the road with him.
Oh, he's a great guy.
Yeah, oh, yeah, he's the best.
Yeah.
Super, super lucky. But yeah, love her stand-up. Think she's great.
Oh, yeah, she's very good. And she did experience all those things that all the road comics do.
Yeah.
If you think of someone like her now, she's a star. So you're thinking... Well, she's always been a star, but when you think about it, she had to go through all those same middle act blues that all the road comics go through.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There was, I can't remember what magazine it was in, but I remember an article where they interviewed her maybe like 5 years ago, something like that, and she was talking about when she did the Last Comic Standing tour, when she was a finalist on that show, and just really struggling on the tour, and how it eventually kind of like broke her and made her that much more confident in her material because she wasn't asking the crowd.
It's all right, because we got Kid Cougar here.
Okay, all good. Sorry about that.
No problem at all. No problem at all.
Yeah, and I always remembered...
That was an Amy Schumer moment.
I know. Sorry.
No problem.
Yeah, I always liked that article because it kind of made you remember that you know, she's gone through all this too. She's gone through hard shows and rough times on the road. And
well, that's how you get good, right? That's why she's so good. She went through all that.
Yeah, so absolutely. She,
you know,
she's definitely not.
You can't really skip that and get good. I don't
think, she's like, you know, everybody's like, oh, where she came out of nowhere. It's like, no, she put in all this hard work.
She was grinding
and
it
she
out
was
for
ready
years.
For this. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Ralphie, so you work with Ralphie too, huh?
Yeah, I was just in Denver with him a few weeks ago at Comedy Works.
How is he?
He's great. He's so funny.
I always loved him. He's
makes
a great,
me laugh
great guy.
So hard. He's so, again, I've gotten so lucky with him and Jim. They both take really good care of me and are super, super
They're
great.
Great guys. And I miss Ralphie's barbecues when he was in town here.
Oh, yeah.
He used to have the best barbecues.
He sells that barbecue sauce, and it is so good.
Yeah.
Such good barbecue
sauce. He's a
bro.
He's a bro.
He knows what he's doing.
Well, it's really good to see you. I'm a fan, and
thanks,
you know, yeah,
Fisher.
You're talented, and I love the bit about the foosball. It caught my attention because I had just played.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. Well, we'll have to play sometime.
No. I'm gonna hold on to my money, okay?
That's
Kelsey
smart.
Cook, right?
Yeah.
You probably have experienced that, losing some dough.
Oh, yeah, constantly. But not from foosball. She just takes money out of my wallet
and
goes on the road with Jim.
Yeah, see, that's what she's learning from Norton.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
All right. Hey, it's really good to meet you, too, man.
Yeah, thank you for having me on.
It's my pleasure, and best of luck to you and with your stand-up and your career, and best of luck to you as well.
Thank
you. I'm a fan of yours, and you're very talented. You're going to do great.
Oh, thank you so much, Frazier. Thanks for having me on.
Well, and I meant at foosball. All right. She's got a trophy. All right. Frazier Smith Show, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Kelsey Cook, Frazier Smith Show, 95.5 KLOS.